Here is also where you should quickly mentally review and adjust your stories. Your story should be developed to utilize both the primacy effect and the recency effect. When presented with a list of information, people are more likely to remember what they heard first and last than anything in the middle. Be sure to use both effects when you're presenting to an individual or group. The easiest way to remember this is the old training adage that goes, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you told them. Check your story pieces and be sure they fit the group you're addressing. Add any additional information that needs to be in the story to make it complete and powerful. Practice your presentation relentlessly ahead of time so that it is polished and can be delivered with smooth and rhythmic flow. If you're unsure how that feels, just get out a children's book and read it aloud. You'll immediately be able to get a feel for how your story should go. There is a pace and a rhythm. Be sure your story is ready. Identify your objections and possible sticking points and address them and overcome them in your presentation. Turn challenges into opportunities and prepare to preempt your potential detractors. If there are particular issues with the physical place in which you'll be persuading, correct those before you begin. Distractions break your rhythm and they allow the person you are persuading to focus attention someplace other than you. The second thing you must accomplish in this phase is a powerful presentation. Lead with a powerful story or idea that is reinforced by a story with which your audience can identify. Use the law of contrast to your benefit. Ask for more than you want first, and then offer what it is that you really do want. When confronted with a big decision and asked to make a smaller one, many will take action on the smaller decision. Get your audience involved in taking action while you're persuading. Have them commit to doing small, inconsequential things throughout the presentation. From setting up situations and scenarios that they can agree on to telling pieces of your story that they can empathize with, get them on your side, get them committing to you, get them feeling for you, make them like you, and make your plights familiar and similar. Use graphics, brochures, audio, or any other props that you need to demonstrate your point and no more. Keep as much of your audience's attention focused on you and your message as possible. This applies to whether you're persuading an individual or an army. Focus on your nonverbal language. When communicating, more than 50% of the cues people use to determine truthfulness and honesty come from viewing the face. Powerful persuaders videotape themselves often to see what their nonverbal communication is telling their audience. Use good facial expression. Smile often. Smiling opens up your face, allows other expressions to flow easily, and projects confidence, happiness, and enthusiasm. Smiling also makes you approachable and human. I'm 6'4" tall and weigh about 250 pounds. To some people, my large chest and narrow waist is intimidating. The problem is that never once did I look in the mirror and feel intimidated. When I first started speaking about persuasion, I was so passionate about the topic that I forgot to smile when I talked, and people felt I was aloof, unapproachable, and aggressive, not at all the outcome I wanted. By simply reminding myself to smile at least once every minute, I was able to completely turn my audience's perceptions around, and now crowds of enthused people come up and visit with me after my talks. The people you're persuading are not mind readers, and some of them are not very good at picking up subtle hints you leave behind, so you must ask them to do something or tell them what you want them to do next. Present your request in a way that is consistent with their expectations and that is consistent with your presentation. Project confidence and expectancy of compliance when you ask. Install a reticular activator. A reticular activator is a device that allows you to describe what people will literally see or experience after talking to you that will remind them of the conversation or the presentation. With a reticular activator, you're simply tying pieces into your story that will remind people and pull them back into ideas and emotions of your story at a later date. They also reinforce what you said about a particular event. An example of a reticular activator for someone who is a fundraiser for Special Olympics might be, each time you see someone in a wheelchair from now on, you have to ask yourself, what can I do right now to help someone in challenging circumstances achieve exceptional opportunities? Future pace what you want them to do and experience. When you have people in a peak emotional state, in person or in writing, have them move forward in time and experience what their life, their emotions, their existence will be like after having done whatever you are suggesting for a certain period of time. Or, have them imagine the emotion they will feel having made a good decision or having helped. A great question to ask while you persuade is, looking back at the decision you made today, 5 years from now, what will be different, and how will you feel because of the decisions you are making right now? One of two things will happen. They'll see the result of either not making the decision or of making the decision. Each gives you the opportunity you need. If they have made the decision and they're happy, then you're well on your way. If they have not made the decision, you get to find out what they believe will happen if they do not, and show them how to avoid their self-described inevitability. If you're persuading a large group and want to individually persuade after the talk, then you want to draw a large group of people to you after you speak. Tell a very engaging and emotional story and stop just before you finish the story. Tell them your time has come to an end, and so anyone who wants to hear the rest of the story should see you at the back of the room. This works exceptionally well with voicemail as well. You simply begin the story and say, "I'm afraid I'm running out of time. Call me back at this number and I'll finish the story when you find yourself intensely interested." Influence. Influencing your audience is the final step in the persuasion equation. Applying every individual tool you have studied in the preceding chapters as often as possible is the key to enhancing influence. Careful application of the tools will build your position to one of overwhelming advantage and swing the tide in your favor. Elements of the final step of the persuasion process are really included in every previous step. Throughout your interactions with the audience you're persuading, you must apply all of the appropriate influencing principles every step of the way to build tremendous power and opportunity to persuade. Initiate the principle of giving to receive whenever you can. Giving people insider information, ethically and legally, of course, can work well. Giving them access to your Rolodex or access to your network in some way creative is also very effective. If you can give the audience you intend to influence something first, use the opportunity. Interestingly, the cost of the item does not have to be high, though the implied price and value can be very high, simply relevant to your audience, to be effective. Use transference whenever possible, whether implied or active. Recruit and meet people who already have influence and authority over the people you hope to persuade, and get them to endorse you in some way, either explicitly by having them endorse you in person or in writing, or implicitly by being seen with them, being photographed with them, or quoting them in your presentation. Build on your audience's beliefs and their desire to believe. Reinforce current or long-held beliefs. Tie your own beliefs together with theirs. Refocusing their beliefs and getting them to be active in creating new beliefs that involve you gives you the advantage, particularly when it comes to bigger efforts of persuasion, like building a brand. Reinforce your authority or expert status in appropriate interactions and in a way that benefits those you would like to influence most. This is the time to layer on the personal testimonials, the articles that you have written, as well as examples of the media that have covered you. This is also where you want to make very conclusive statements about what needs to be done. You need to be sure and definitive in your presentation, providing answers to questions and proposed solutions. There is no room for weakness or lack of certainty here. If you're uncertain, create a break so that you can quickly gather the information you need. Cause your audience to be curious and to engage you in more detailed conversation and questions. Pose scenarios, difficult questions, or surprising opinions. Show them ways that non-conventional thinking has created breakthroughs or solutions and get them actively participating in creating new ways of thinking by asking better and more detailed questions. Challenge their answers and ask questions that require them to be more and more specific in their responses. Lead them to the conclusions that you have already come to and to the conclusions that you want them to arrive at through your questions. Use availability to reinforce why taking action is now imperative. As I'm writing this, I got an email announcement from a business associate who's selling a high-end training program for $1,497. The email told me he had only made 700 copies of the program and each was individually serial numbered, and once all 700 were sold, he would make no more, period. About 4 hours later, I received another email letting me know that he had already sold 392 copies of the program and time was running short to get my copy. He also let me know that even if I ordered now and mine was order number 701, he would have to refund my money. I have to admit, because of the second email, I had to take a long look at the website and what he was selling just to be sure I was not missing out on something that I would later regret. That is an excellent example of limiting availability and increasing desire with time pressure. Another way of effectively using availability is to increase the pressure of time, as in the earlier example. Time can be measured in many ways, but ultimately it always comes down to needing to do something in order to get some benefit quickly, or it becomes unavailable or more expensive. That is the reason coupons have expiration dates. Time can also be limited in relationship to a project. If a decision is not made by a certain time, there will not be enough time to get the project started or completed within the specified time frame. Costs can also be increased with time as well. You get a better deal for buying now than you do if you wait, or you are given incentives that will not be available later. Use the concepts of inconsequence to get people to take little actions that lead to bigger actions. When my mom joined the cult, they did not ask her to give up her life savings, become totally subservient to men, and abandon her friends. They simply invited her to dinner to meet some people. That couldn't hurt. Those people invited her to a service. That couldn't hurt. The minister invited her back. That didn't seem like too much of a commitment, so she went. At the next service, the minister invited her to the altar to accept Jesus Christ as her personal savior. That was a lot bigger step, but logical in the progression of things. And one smaller step led to another. You can do the same things with your clients. Getting them to agree to a series of next steps that you will take together is inconsequential. Then deliver on your end of the deal by getting your steps done as quickly as possible and report back. Hold them accountable by asking them to take the steps they agreed to. When they know you'll be doing your part and following up to be sure they've done theirs, they become more likely to follow through because if you're familiar and liked, they do not want to let you down. Accountability is closely tied to inconsequence because people are more willing to be accountable for small outcomes than large ones. By now, you can see the importance of layering on the different tools in order to create higher levels of persuasion. At this point, your persuasion process may have lasted a few minutes or days, depending on your desired outcome and the layers of persuasion needed. In future chapters, we overlay the persuasion equation on the selling process, creating powerful advertising, writing persuasive copy and letters, and the negotiation process. Step by step, we position our stories and our audiences, present our message powerfully to our carefully identified audience, and layer on persuasive tactic after persuasive tactic to methodically break down the natural resistance, to increase the emotions of acceptance and desire, and finally, to move the decision to the outcome we have chosen. Be aware that the persuasion equation can be applied in person, in writing, on the web, on television and radio, or just about any area you have the opportunity to influence another person. While manipulation is far less complicated, it is predatory, and its impact is fleeting. The persuasion equation may seem complex at first, but it really is not. With just a little practice, it will become a part of who you are and how you operate, just like eating or breathing. It'll become a skill that you're unconsciously competent at using, and you'll be consciously aware of its results. The persuasion equation is universally applicable and gives you the opportunity to persuade with unbelievable efficiency. It is a skill that will set you apart and serve you well for the rest of your life. Chapter review. Remember the equation, position plus presentation times influence equals persuasion. Clearly define the message that you're going to send as well as your desired outcome. Clearly identify your audience before you present. Layer the elements of persuasion as appropriate throughout your message to intensify the impact. Practice a persuasion equation until it becomes a part of who you are and until you apply it in every situation without even thinking. This ability is the essence of the professional persuader. Success questions. What current situations could be enhanced by applying the persuasion equation? Which audiences am I wasting my time with, and whom should I be talking to instead? As I evaluate my current opportunities, which of the elements of persuasion should I layer into my current process? Whom do I know who follows this process well, and how can I get involved in having him or her mentor me through the process? Looking back over deals I've lost, what could I have done differently in order to persuade them to come my way? Chapter 15, Persuasive Selling. Everyone lives by selling something. Robert Louis Stevenson. To some it will seem odd that in a book on persuasion there is a whole separate chapter on selling, but persuasion, as you have learned, is much more than simple presentation of features and benefits and hoping that someone will accept your argument. Persuasive selling is rather the careful development of an environment where the person who will buy your product can make only one good and logical decision. I demonstrate a very straightforward sales process here that virtually anyone can remember and apply successfully. I also explain how to make it more effective using many of the different tactics you have learned so far. I want you to remember that no matter what you're trying to persuade someone of, you are selling. All of life is sales. There are no exceptions. I've discovered over the years of teaching people to sell and managing sales teams that the problem of selling is broken down into one of these four areas. Number one, you do not like to sell. Number two, you do not understand selling. Number three, you do not like salespeople, and your salespeople know it. Number four, you're not selling the way the prospect wants to buy. The old saying that people do not like to be sold to is true, but everyone loves to be given all the information needed to make a good decision. Wouldn't you agree? Ultimately, that's what selling is, giving people enough compelling information to make a completely informed and obvious decision. Closing a sale is nothing more than simply bringing the decision process to a logical conclusion. Notice that nowhere did I say pressure them, sharp angle close them, negotiate, or anything else that you may have learned or heard about how selling works. Here's the hard truth about your business. If you're going to own or grow a business, you'd better get comfortable with selling, and fast, because all business is selling at some level. That does not mean that you have to personally enjoy going out to find and close business yourself, but you'd better understand what it takes and how to measure how well it's being done in your business, and you'd better respect those people who are doing the job you dislike, if you decide to hire salespeople and delegate the task to them. It is imperative that you learn something about selling if you hope to make your marketing work. You have to know what the process is to get people to spend their hard-earned dollars with you. They are going to spend their money, and it is up to you to understand what is required to get them to spend it with you. If you do not have time to go through this process fully, or if you're so involved in either running the business or delivering the product or service, then you need to hire someone who can sell for you. When you hire someone to sell for you, you must pick someone with a documented track record of success, who has significant sales experience and/or documented sales training, and preferably industry or product-specific experience that can be brought to bear immediately on the customers frequenting your business. You then need to be positively sure that the people you picked understand how to persuade. The best thing you can do is give them this book to read in their first week. Great salespeople have likely already read it. And if they haven't had traditional sales training, get them involved in a program so they can learn a complete technical methodology. When we teach sales training, we teach a complete process that begins with gathering leads and ends at serving the customer after the sale. Here is the interesting part. We do not teach that process until the end of the training, so they can overlay the persuasion techniques at every step. We require marketing departments to be a part of the training as well when we do the training for companies in-house. Far too many businesses allow a partial and even complete disconnect between sales and marketing, and this is an enormous mistake as both are deeply involved in persuading customers. Rather than giving you the full sales seminar here, I'd like to give you a short course on how people buy so you can address clients in the way they would like to be addressed in order to get them to do business with you. I also demonstrate different persuasion tactics you can apply throughout the process. What your clients want. There are certain things your clients desire: to be made aware that they have a need, or to have their need validated, a relevant solution, answers to their questions, detailed information to make a good decision, to be reassured they are getting what they need and are making the best decision, value, for you to give them permission to make the decision right now. There really is no secret to selling. If you can fully provide all of this, you will get the sale every time. People simply want to be served. By being relevant, answering their questions, and demonstrating value, you not only set their buying criteria, you heavily weight it in your favor. Selling really is that simple. The harder you make it, the longer it takes for you to get the aforementioned information to them, and the longer the sales cycle takes. I use the acronym ISELL to make understanding persuasive selling easy to remember and apply. The ISELL process looks like this. I, identify qualified prospects. S, start your story. E, educate, answer, and encourage. L, lead them to their best decision. L, let them buy. Identify qualified prospects. The first step to persuasive selling remains, be relevant. You must first identify those people who have a need and are a good fit for your product or service. The biggest mistake I see both beginning and experienced salespeople make is wasting time with anyone who will talk to them. If you cannot qualify prospects as being a good fit for you before you start talking to them, you'd better be able to do it in less than 3 minutes or you'll waste huge amounts of your profitable time. One of the oldest tricks in the sales manager's arsenal is helping salespeople figure out the value of their time. Most salespeople will never take the time to do it, and if they do, will lack the dedication to apply it on a daily basis. On the other hand, there is a top 5% of salespeople who will live and die by that number on a daily basis because they know how much money they need to make and how much time they have left in which to make it. Let me ask you this question to see if I can drive home how important one idea is. If you had 30 days to make $10,000 to save your life for someone you love, would you go fishing with your buddies every other day? Of course not. You would intensely focus on your goal until you got there. If you've never done this exercise before, I want you to do it now. Simply write down the amount of money you want to make next year. Divide that by 2,080, the number of hours you work in a typical year. That will give you the value of each one of your working hours. Divide that by 10-minute segments, and then you'll know precisely how much money you're willing to invest in someone before you move on. Let's say you want to earn $100,000 per year, the bare minimum for a great persuader. The equation looks like this. $100,000 divided by 2,080 equals $48.07 per hour divided by 6, 10-minute segments, equals $8.01. For every 10 minutes you spend on anything, you're investing $8.01. Every activity you do has a price, and none is higher than the amount of time you'll spend with an unqualified person, and here's why. Because for every hour you spend on unqualified people or time-wasting tasks, you have to subtract it from the number of hours you have left to earn your $100,000. Or you have to add it back in extra hours, nights, weekends, holidays, and lost vacations, in order to make up for the ones you threw away. When you do the math and are honest about the amount of time you waste, you'll realize the value of speaking only with qualified prospects. Be sure you're quickly and efficiently qualifying your clients. Questions you must ask are, does this person have an immediate need I can solve? Is this person working on an intermediate range project on which I can help? Does this person have the authority to make the decision, or does he or she honestly have influence over the project with the person who does? Will I be able to interact with the ultimate decision maker at some point prior to the decision process? Is the person or company financially able to do business with me? Do not judge a book by its cover. You must find out factually. Do all the required technical conditions exist for the person to use my product or service? Does this person have the requisite experience to use my product or service? Are there any other conditions that cannot be met that would disqualify this person today? Start your story. Once you have qualified the prospect, it's time to start your story. Before you start the story, be sure your audience understands that they have been heard. Make sure they're ready to listen when you start. A prepared audience is an audience preconditioned to buy. You should already be in persona and ready to tell your story, in person or over the phone. But if you're not, make any necessary shifts that are required to have your full-blown persuasive persona out front for inspection by your prospects. If you're on the phone, your voice should be clear and crisp. Here's another tip from Susan Berkeley, CEO of The Great Voice Company. Do not clear your throat on the phone. Have a sip of water instead. No one wants to hear you clear your throat. If you are in person, be sure that your attire is impeccable and that your voice, posture, and presentation are fully prepared. Start your story by reiterating the important issues the prospective client brought up. Show you heard what she had to say, and then launch into your story. If you've crafted your story well, it will include many persuasive elements and chances to ask more clarifying questions. During the story, it's important to use the principle of transfer of power. Be sure to use case studies or testimonials to reinforce what you're saying. Be sure the testimonials and case studies are relevant to the issues the prospective client has. Educate, answer, and encourage. As you tell the story, build insatiable curiosity. Make your prospects have to ask you questions that take them deeper into your story as a result. As your story educates them, answering their identified questions, you will educate them about specifically why you and your solution are best for them. You'll have built plenty of credibility and demonstrated your experience through the proper use of transference of power and credibility, but they will now have more questions. You now have the opportunity to take them even deeper, because you know that the more time you can get them to invest with you, the less time they'll spend with your competition. Through the process of educating, answering, and encouraging, you prompt them to give you more and more pieces of information that you can use to layer on the persuasion and set their buying criteria. The more you educate them, the more you become their guru or expert, and they understand that they can rely on you. The more they rely on you, the less likely they are to rely on anyone else. Quality of information wins this portion of the process as well. The best thought out and best reinforced answers that are relevant will turn the tide in your favor. Be sure that your answers are tied together with exactly how your solution will solve their specific problems. Encourage them to challenge or question your solution so you can get to the root of their real concerns at this point. Continue to educate, answer, and encourage until they have all the information they need or have requested. Lead them to their best decision. This is where your money is earned. As you continue telling your story, you begin to get your audience to make small decisions and agree to things with little consequence. You are conditioning them for the ultimate decision. The more small decisions you can get prospective clients to commit to at this stage, the easier their decision to do business with you at the end. If you're selling cars, you might want to get them to acknowledge which color they like or what accessories they will want with a car. If you are selling technology, it might be getting them to agree on which locations would be their test sites and identifying which people would be involved in the process. By actively getting them to take these small actions in their minds, you move them into a place where they must see you and your product involved, since you're standing right in front of them, answering their questions. During this phase, you also clear the stage for the final decision of either making the purchase or taking next steps. If all questions are answered and the prospects are ready to buy, you move right into the next step. Let them buy. Many sales cannot be closed in one day. But in order to be in control of the persuasion process, you must stay in control of what happens next. So, during this phase, you clearly determine what the next steps will be. You get them to agree to dates and timelines for the next steps. You also clearly identify who is responsible for what at this stage to be sure that you are initiating the tactic of accountability. People will most often do what they promise when they know someone else is going to be holding them accountable. If the decision to buy at this point has not been reached, it is imperative that you are vigilant about meeting your agreed-upon deadlines and commitments. The prospects will be judging you by your ability to perform. They will also be giving you a number of clues as to what kind of client they will be over time. Pay particular attention. Do they meet their deadlines? Are they able to meet their commitments? Are they relying on someone else, and if so, why? Every piece of information you can gather at this point is crucial to your long-term success. Again, the persuader with the most information controls the process and wins. Continue recommitting the prospects as necessary and meeting goals and deadlines. This is a great time to give to receive. Provide the company with specific information that is immediately beneficial to them. Do favors where possible and ethical. And do the same with specific gifts or giveaway items that can tie your prospects to you. Again, make sure all efforts at giving to receive are ethical, legal, and allowed by both your company and theirs. Continue this process until it's time to make a decision. You may need to direct them to the decision earlier than they are ready to make it, and the way to do that is through the use of exclusivity and scarcity. You can use scarcity by demonstrating how lack of a decision will affect the timeline or delivery schedule. You can also demonstrate it with manufacturing backlogs or other client placement that moves them lower down the fulfillment chain. Fears of loss or delay in deliverables are powerful motivators in the persuasion process. Demonstrate exclusivity to add another layer of desire. Show them how they'll become part of a group or receive special incentives available only to early adopters or to people who buy within an identified period of time. Demonstrate how their actions will give them access to a special group of people or events they would otherwise be excluded from. Let them buy. The final step of the iSell process is to let them buy. I cannot tell you how many times I've watched salespeople talk themselves out of closed sales. At this point, they feel a need to keep talking and keep persuading and reassuring to the point that it causes confusion or hesitation. When your prospects are ready to buy, sell. They will have at this point convinced themselves they are making absolutely the right decision. Get them deeply involved in the process of the mechanics of buying right away. If that means drawing up a contract, then get it done immediately and get them started on some project that will have them taking the first steps of implementation. If it means simply taking cash, then get them to the point of sale. Once you've begun the process, it's perfectly acceptable to upsell. If you're selling retail, offer your higher margin add-on products. If you're selling high ticket items, this is the time to upsell warranties, insurance, or whatever else it is that you can to increase the size and profitability of the transaction. There is no better time to ask people to buy something else than when they're actively involved in buying. Once you have sold to your customers the very first time, you move them into your ongoing influence cycle, where you will develop the relationship and their loyalty while creating multiple opportunities for them to buy more from you more often. When you start thinking of selling in the proper context, it really is a lot of fun, and you begin to realize that selling really is the part of your business that gives your customers the most and best information they can get. Selling is where people are served. The rest is delivery. What you do after the sale is the extension of that first experience that continually reminds them of the great decision they made. It also reminds them how easy and smart future purchases will be. They will not have to ever pay attention to another ad again because they'll never be better served than they are already by you. Remember, selling is nothing more than stacking the appropriate sales tactics onto one another to support your story for a predictable outcome. The iSell process is the easiest way I know to guarantee the persuasive selling process. Chapter Review. Remember the acronym iSell. Identify qualified prospects. Start your story. Educate, answer, and encourage. Lead them to their best decision. Let them buy. Layer on appropriate persuasion tactics along the way. Be sure to generate curiosity and create desire continually throughout your story. Let them buy. When they've made their decision, stop talking and start facilitating. Success questions. Do I adequately qualify the people I sell to today? How much money do I waste on unqualified prospects per year? Have I committed the iSell process to memory?